Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Matt Harrison, is the author of our Book of the Month for March, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? Instruction, Meditation, and Prayers on Luther's Small Catechism. This new devotional resource is available in print and as an ebook. Learn more about Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran?
The choir is where I think the choir ought to be, invisible to the people, so that the music comes from behind you and above you in an organ loft. You can't act like a peacock if you know that nobody is looking at you.
There is some truth to the criticism that we don't want to do our disciplines just for show. But I think the pendulum has completely swung in the other way, and we do our Christian freedom just for show.
She prepares him for his burial. She does it in this very generous and humble way. That's what we're supposed to remember, her humility, her obedience, her generosity, not her name.
LCMS Navy chaplains appreciate daily food for thought on Issues, Etc.
It's a nighttime encounter. The teacher of Israel, he is called in the Gospel of John, Nicodemus, this Pharisee, comes to Jesus by night. We don't know that he comes by night simply because he doesn't want to be seen talking to Jesus. The Pharisees don't usually seem to have any problem being seen talking to Jesus, but he has a question for Jesus. He just wants to know where he came from and how he can do the things he does. He's got to be from God if he's doing them, but it just doesn't make sense to him. And at some point in the conversation, Jesus will even say to Nicodemus, "You're the teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things. If I tell you earthly things and you don't understand them, what are you going to do when I tell you heavenly things?" Why can't Nicodemus, learned man that he is in the scriptures, understand what Jesus is teaching him there by night in John chapter 3? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 12th of March. We're going to be talking with Pastor Tom Baker, teaching a Sunday school lesson in John chapter 3, and then a little bit later reviewing the movie Captain Marvel with Pastor Ted Geese. We'll also have an opportunity to respond to your email and some of your comments on the Issues Etc. comment line in the second hour of the program. By the way, if you want to send us an email anytime you are listening to us, that email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address @issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line also open for you any time of day or night, whenever you listen, 618-223-8382. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson, Jesus teaching Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Tom, why is it that Nicodemus, obviously a learned and scholarly man and well-versed in the scriptures, doesn't even begin to understand what Jesus is teaching him?
Nicodemus was raised in what we call Judaism, which was a different religion than the Old Testament faith of Israel. And after the destruction by the Babylonians of the temple, they moved to an understanding that salvation was by obedience to the ceremonial laws. Remember that parable Jesus gives? Thank God I'm not like that tax collector, the Pharisee says, because I do this, I do that. Therefore, they would use eyeglasses that saw Moses as bringing salvation by obedience to the law. In fact, just recently I was talking about a woman who had been speaking to a Jewish person, and one of the reasons the Jew was not believing in Jesus is because she said, "Well, you folks believe that Jesus is greater than Moses." So once you believe that Moses is the epitome as God's messenger, it's very difficult for you to understand that the Messiah was coming to get your sins forgiven rather than help works in order to be saved. And so Nicodemus was aware that Jesus was doing a lot of these miracles, and that's why he doesn't ask Jesus a question at the beginning, as he says, "We know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs you do unless God is with him." So he's still ignorant of the true nature and purpose of Jesus, but at least the miracles caught his imagination, and he comes to Jesus and tells him that, where Jesus then leads into a different conversation.
Why does Jesus do that? Why does when it's a pretty straightforward question, you know, essentially, where have you come from? Because we know you have to have, in some sense, come from God to do these things. Why does Jesus change, or apparently change, the subject?
This occurs in a number of instances where somebody may have a question and Jesus changes the subject to that which really is about salvation. Jesus had one purpose in coming into the world, and that was to help people understand how God saves them. From where he came is not as important as to how Nicodemus can go to heaven. And so Jesus kind of changes the conversation, does not answer his question, because Nicodemus wouldn't have understood it if Jesus had said, "Well, I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of Man, as prophesied in Daniel 7, and I have come to forgive your sins. That's why I'm able to do these miracles." Nicodemus would not have accepted that, so Jesus has to lead him into a process of how God saves people.
So in other words, what Nicodemus lacks is faith in Jesus Christ, and so answering that question is kind of putting the cart before the horse.
Well said.
Then when he begins to talk about baptism, he talks about baptism as being born again, which has, as you well know, Tom, taken on a completely different meaning among Christians popularly nowadays. How would you reorient our thinking on what it means to be born again in terms of Jesus' definition?
Yes. In fact, although most translations have born again, the Greek actually means born from above. But a lot of Christians today believe, if you ask them, "Have you been born again?" they'll say, "Well, have I invited Christ into my heart? Have I given him the prayer dedication? Have I made a confession of sins in such a way that I can bring Christ into my heart?" That's not being born from above, that's being born from below. And so I would say Jesus is very clear that this, to be born again or from above, cannot be something that you initiate. It must be an act of God. And that's why I always turn to one of my favorite understandings that God has himself. The analogy of being saved is like an adoption. No baby gets adopted from the baby itself. The baby doesn't make a decision. You can't go to a one-month-old baby and say, "Here's what you can do in order to be adopted." But that's exactly what a lot of Christians are doing today. Here's what you can do in order to be saved. There's even a television commercial, "Invite Christ into your life." Well, if you're an unbeliever, you're not going to invite Christ into your life because you don't believe in him. And if you want to invite him into your life, that means he's already there because you have faith in who he is. So this is why Jesus says, born from above, which is very clearly something that God is going to do. It's not something we do in order to be saved.
Nicodemus hears, at least, born again, and he gets kind of wrapped up in this idea of a physical rebirth. What does Jesus do to set him straight?
Yes, he says, "How can I enter a second time into a mother's womb and be born?" That's where he is confused. But Jesus makes a distinction. That birth was a birth of flesh to flesh. But what he's talking about is a birth of the Spirit through the Holy Spirit. In fact, the word wind here is actually the same word, pneuma, for the word Spirit, for the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus goes on in verse 8, the wind, or pneuma, blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone, now listen to these words, who is born of the Spirit. You see, there's two kinds of births. You can have a natural birth where you are begotten, but the Bible makes very clear, the only begotten child of God the Father, the only begotten Son, is Jesus Christ. The rest of us are members of the family, but that is by adoption. Adopted by who? So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And that understanding is taken again and again. For example, in Acts chapter 2, where Peter is answering the question, you know, how can a person be saved? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that promise is to you, to your little children, and to all Gentiles, everyone, now listen to this, whom the Lord our God calls to himself. You can't find anywhere in the scriptures where a sheep gets lost and the sheep goes trying to find the shepherd, finds the shepherd, jumps on his shoulders and says, take me home. No, it's very opposite. The shepherd finds the sheep, puts him on his shoulders, and takes him home. And that is the difference between the two kinds of baptism, the somewhat popular one of inviting Christ into your heart, and the biblical one where you are born from above.
Nicodemus asks a question that actually is somewhat common in the Gospels. It's asked by Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist at one point, even asked by the Virgin Mary when she's visited by the angel. Nicodemus says, how can these things be? What's he asking?
He's saying, this doesn't make any sense to me, that a person does not make the decision to be a believer, that is something that God initiates. How can this be? And Jesus says, and it's interesting, he puts a definite article there, are you the teacher of Israel? In other words, Nicodemus must be pretty high on the totem pole for being a teacher of what God is supposedly saying. And he says, you're a teacher of Israel, and you do not understand these things? Truly I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. I think a lot of people miss the plurality of the we and the are. About whom is Jesus speaking, that we speak of what we know? I believe, as most scholars do, that this is the Holy Trinity, Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. They know how they save people. And yet, it seems Nicodemus isn't receiving their testimony. And Jesus says, if I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And so he's making it very clear that the one who has come to give testimony to this is himself, who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man, and if you go back to Daniel chapter 7, you'll find the Ancient of Days, who is God the Father, sending Jesus as the Son of Man into the world to redeem the world. So Jesus is giving a little history lesson and helping Nicodemus to become a proper teacher of the Bible.
We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. The big question here is, we don't hear again from Nicodemus. We hear only what Jesus has to say, and he begins to tell Nicodemus the gospel, that he has been sent into the world, and those who believe in him will have eternal life. I wonder if Nicodemus hears this and does believe it, because by the end of the gospel, he is a secret believer in Jesus Christ. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus teaching Nicodemus.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Matt Harrison, is the author of our Book of the Month for March, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? Instruction, Meditation, and Prayers on Luther's Small Catechism. This new devotional resource is available in print and as an ebook. Learn more about Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran?
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Sanctifying your commute with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Lutheran Women's Missionary League is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During March, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to the LWML. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on Jesus teaching Nicodemus in John chapter 3. This is what Growing in Christ, the Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House, has to say in part about this section of Scripture. God fashioned his Son in the form of a man and lifted him up on the cross, promising that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In baptism, God the Holy Spirit lifts up Jesus on the cross for us to see and to believe God's promise of eternal life through him by faith. Just a taste of the kind of solid biblical teaching you will find in Growing in Christ, a Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House and they will send you free samples, 1-800-325-3040. Tom, I'm curious. Nicodemus kind of stops talking at this point, and is typical of John's gospel. We just get an extended discourse from Jesus, and then they go on to something else. Jesus kind of gets the final word here, but most of what Jesus is talking about is the very stuff that Nicodemus needs to hear if he is to believe in Jesus, isn't it?
Yes, it's kind of like a mini Bible study of the Emmaus Road, where Jesus explained to two disciples the necessity of his being crucified from the Old Testament passages. And once more, he goes back to the Old Testament. You just mentioned about the Sunday school material lifting up Jesus on the cross, and that's precisely what Jesus then talks about. He says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Now, that refers to that occasion when the people really were rebelling against God, and God sent poisonous serpents into the camp, bit many people, some died, and then they called for help to God through Moses, who had Moses erect a bronze serpent, and whoever even looked at it would be healed. But you had to go some distance, because there were about 1 million people that had gone through the Red Sea and were with Moses, so it would take some time, and it showed the faith that they had in the promise of God. Just as the serpent was lifted up off of the ground, so also Jesus would be lifted up onto the cross, and all who believed in him would have not just physical life and the healing from a snake bite, but spiritual life and healing from the spiritual bite of Satan, because Satan was really destroyed by the work of Jesus Christ.
Then can we talk about this passage that has become so famous, "For God so loved the world," John 3:16, and maybe go a little deeper than it simply gets quoted, and then people kind of forget what they've heard. What is it that Jesus is saying about himself, God's love, and why he has come into the world to Nicodemus there?
Yes, a lot of people, when they read this wonderful passage, "For God so loved the world," they are thinking that that means he loved them a lot. But that's not really what the Greek says. The Greek is saying, do you want to understand the love of God? He gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the passage is talking about not the volume of God's love, but the context of God's love. This is how much he loves you. It reminds me of a story, a made-up story, of a tribe in the jungle, and the chief had made a rule that there was to be no drinking, and unfortunately a man was drinking, and he hit his wife. He was brought before the chief, and the chief got him to admit what he had done, and then the chief talked to some soldiers who were nearby. They went to a young man, and they went into the jungle, came back a little bit, and the soldiers nodded that their work had been done. And the man asked the chief, "What did you do?" And the chief said, "I killed my son to take your punishment." Now, every time you tell that story, it just sounds ridiculous. But that's precisely how much God's love, the kind of love that God has for us, that he was willing to condemn his only begotten son. Also, this gospel in a nutshell, they often call it, gets messed up. People say, okay, God did his part. He gave his only begotten son. Now, I have to do my part. I have to decide to believe in him. But that is a totally false notion, because faith doesn't come by my making a choice to believe in God. And that's really found very clearly in the Catechism, where Martin Luther says, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And we know this had a real impact on Nicodemus, because Nicodemus is mentioned 2 more times in the Gospel of John. The one time, the Pharisees are angry at officers who went to arrest Jesus and come back empty-handed. And Nicodemus says, no, that's not the way we do it here. We need to give a man the opportunity to defend himself. And they say, what, are you from Galilee too? And of course, the other time that Nicodemus is mentioned is when the burial of Jesus takes place. It's Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus who kind of take their life in their hands to go and take Jesus down from the cross and bury him in Joseph of Arimathea's grave. So one can understand that this teaching of Jesus to Nicodemus created faith in him so that he believed the word of Jesus, he listened to Jesus, and look at that work of sanctification he did, even though it meant taking his life in his own hands.
Do you think that, we were not told, but do you think that Nicodemus came to faith this night or at some point later in the Holy Spirit bringing these words of Jesus to his recollection?
That's a good question, and I'm unable to answer that because, as you said, there's not a reply from Nicodemus, but because of his curiosity in the miracles, I'm confident that Jesus' later actions, like the whip in the temple, other things like sermons he had done, he was always doing sermons, that Nicodemus was around them. And though he may not have been converted instantaneously, as was Saul on the road to Damascus, it does certainly appear, because of his later actions, that we'll be meeting him in heaven.
Finally, then, what's the simple law and gospel for our Sunday school children as they study Jesus teaching Nicodemus?
The simple law and gospel is we often think we are the ones who have to do what we want to achieve, like getting to heaven. That's law. We are unable to do that because every person is a sinner who falls short of the glory of God. The gospel is our birth didn't come from below. Our salvation and our faith comes from above, namely the Holy Spirit, who uses the word of God, Romans 10, verse 8, in order to bring us to faith and therefore to believe that which seems to be unreasonable and irrational. But once we have that faith, we, like the disciples, are willing to be persecuted to the point of death rather than deny what Jesus has told us.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you.
The much-anticipated Captain Marvel movie is out, and Pastor Ted Geese, our movie reviewer, has seen it. He's got a review for us on the other side of the break. He says that, well, it's one of those kind of movies that after you've seen it, some will try to convince themselves that it was better than it is, and some will try to convince themselves that it's worse. We'll find out why he says that after this. It's time to register to vote for the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Each congregation or multi-point parish must register their pastor and lay voters with the LCMS Office of Secretary by Sunday, March 24th of 2019. A nomination form has been mailed to every LCMS congregation. Learn more at issuesetc.org/LCMSPresident. issuesetc.org/LCMSPresident.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
This is Pastor Donald Jordan welcoming you to Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in Chico, California. We stand upon the inspired, inerrant Word of God and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Students at Chico State and Butte College are welcome to our college group. Our divine service is at 10 and Sunday school at 9. We are located at 750 Moss Avenue, and our website is RedeemerChico.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armed forces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armed forces.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.